Welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio. I am your host, Cami Gellner. Women are being called to lead with voice, vitality, and vigor. Each week, join me for wisdom-filled interviews with extraordinary women living out loud and making a difference in our world. Their stories will uplift, inspire, and spark your own purpose-driven journey. Hello, my extraordinary women friends. I'm recording this on a Friday afternoon after a beautiful, fun-filled week in my world of Cami Gellner coaching. I had a great mastermind meeting with my Platinum Scale, Grow, and Impact clients, helping them build out their customer journey outreach plans and put a lot of the work that we've been doing together into action. It's exciting to see what's unfolding in their businesses. It makes me just really so happy for them. We've also done the first half of the Own Your Genius series this week on my Extraordinary Women Connect Facebook community, where I've been highlighting the stories of the extraordinary women of my mastermind programs. By the time this airs next week, you can still catch the recordings of both weeks. It's a two-week series with six different episodes highlighting 18 different clients. I love this series that I get to do every year, and I'm always filled with proud mama bear energy, sharing all the good work that my clients are doing in the world. You know, they're out there to make a difference. They're out there to make an impact. It's who gets drawn to me. And I love doing this series because I get to highlight what they're doing, how they're making a difference, how they're making an impact. It's all about the ripple effect for me. So for me, it's like, yes, let's get their message out into the world. It's a lot of fun and it's inspiring because they share what they're doing to grow their businesses right now. So go catch those. They're a lot of fun. It's why I do what I do. And we are expanding and hiring a digital content and marketing coordinator who will be working with Extraordinary Women Radio content each week, as well as other content that we're producing. And we're starting to get in some great resumes. I'm excited and a little bit giddy about expanding our capabilities in this space. If you know someone who might be interested in playing in the good women's wisdom that we're producing, check the show notes for the link to the job description. And please share it with your communities, as I believe this is how we're going to find just the right person to join our team. It's really important to me that we find the right person. I'm stoked about this next step for us. Today, I'm excited to introduce you to Afton Brazzoni, the founder of Scribe National, a rapidly growing B2B content partner helping their clients, some of Canada's fastest growing companies, dial up traffic, leads, and sales. It was a lot of fun talking shop on brand strategy, content strategy, and more. If you're an entrepreneur, content is queen, my friends. So tune in and grab a pen and get some good nuggets. Let's meet Afton Brazzoni. Well, welcome to Extraordinary Women Radio, Afton. It is so great to have you join us.
Thank you so much, Cami. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have this conversation with you. You and I have got to know each other a little bit through an incubator program that we're in together. And then we've had a conversation, but now I just know that there's a lot of synergies behind the work we both used to do back in the day and the work that we get to do today. And I'm so excited to hear about some of the things that you're doing and what you're teaching your clients. So it's going to be really relevant for my audience and our listeners. So let's dive in. I know, well, let's, before we do that, you're in Calgary.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How is it up in Calgary these days? Is it starting to show some spring?
Well, it was. And now we have some snow again. And I'm actually about to head to Hawaii. So the timing for that couldn't be better.
That's awesome. I love that. Don't you love when those good kind of trips really happen? They get you out of the cold. So
yes.
I love that.
Absolutely.
That's so good. So you and I share that B2B marketing background. I mean, that's where we both came out of that world in the corporate world. And that was a fun space to be in. I mean, I've always prided myself in being a B2B marketer when I was in the corporate world, because it's a different kind of thing. It's complex. It's, you know, learning to speak the stories, the voices. And I carry that forward, and I know you carry that forward in your work right now. Tell us a little bit how that entrepreneurial journey that really brought you into the space that you're getting to do this work with, you know, so many wonderful companies right now. some of Canada's fastest growing companies, in fact.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's funny because I always say, like, I'm not one of those people that always knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
Yeah. Like, it just, I don't come from a family of business owners. I knew I always wanted to be a writer and a storyteller. So that's really where the common thread comes through from, you know, starting as a reporter, going to journalism school, doing some freelance reporting, and then moving into communications and marketing. And like you said, working for companies, I did that for about 10 years at various companies. It ranged from higher education institutions to a travel magazine. That was one of my funnest ones.
To a
marketing agency, which was kind of where I got the taste for more of what I do now. And in 2019, I was working actually at a 90-year-old institution, at an arts institution, which also did arts and leadership programming. And so, you know, at that time, my vision of what stability was, like my understanding of that was so different. And I thought, okay, like I'm at this place, it's got the pension plan, it's got, you know, everything. And of course, when COVID happened, about 75% of the organization, including myself, were laid off. And it really redefined. Now the way that I see entrepreneurship is I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
That's right. I mean, that just happens, right? It's after you've had it in your blood, it's like, okay, this is amazing.
Oh yeah. It's absolutely amazing. I love it. And my understanding of that whole stability piece really changed as well, because now I feel like as entrepreneurs, like we're defining what it means, and we are shaping our business. And I just, yeah, so I love it. And I feel much differently about it than I did before. And of course have carried really that storytelling, that marketing throughout into what we do now. And so today Scribe National is a content writing studio. And so we work with service-based entrepreneurs as well as B2B marketers. And we do a lot of work with the tech industry, but you know, we've worked really across industries with people to help them get their messages, their strategies, and their content out to their audience.
Yeah. And you grew really quickly, which is, I love to hear stories like this. So you grew from zero to multi six figures in just a couple of years. So tell us a little bit about that journey of that rapid growth.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'll say it was surprising. It's not like I set out to, I think when you first start, and again, with it being during COVID, it was more about just, can I make this a full-time business? Really? Like, can I sustain this? And I think you kind of begin with that blank slate and really being open to the possibilities, I guess, and not really knowing where it's going to go, which is the exciting part. But what I knew immediately was, you know, the passion and the drive for the storytelling and the writing, and just the extent to which I was getting to do that I didn't get to do that in previous roles, and really having that be the whole reason that I started the company, was immediately I was like, okay, I love this. And then I think all of those other things start to come in. So, you know, our coach talks about this a lot, but it's like you start the business because of the skill that you have.
Right.
And then the skills that I didn't have was, you know, everything else about running the business and doing sales and just understanding like the growth trajectory of the business. So it wasn't necessarily planned. And I was pretty surprised and very happy that we reached six figures by the end of the first year. It was like, oh, wow, this is pretty amazing. And, you know, it would never have been possible just on my own. Like, I was lucky that I was able to bring in writers, like within, I would say, 6 months. One of my very close friends, actually, who's extremely talented communication strategist, was able, you know, to help me with a lot of those projects, because you can only grow so quickly, right? And you can only grow so much on your own. And you definitely,
especially as a content agency, right? It's an agency that's putting content out. If it was all on you, you would really be bogged down.
Exactly. Because there are only so many hours in the day to create that content. And then one of the biggest turning points was joining the first program with, you know, the coach that we share. So Eleanor Beaton is both of our coaches. And so her first program. I joined that in the fall of 2020. And that really just enabled me to hone my business further, niche it further, because at the time I was calling it integrated marketing and communications. We hadn't niched into B2B at this point. And so doing that was a pivotal moment in the business to enable me to focus the services we were doing. And so excellence is my core value for our company. And so niching it enabled me to just take that excellence and just really focus it on the content creation. And so it's been just an upward trajectory from there, I would say.
That's so exciting. That's so exciting. And I love that the point you just made, and I just want to highlight it, is that that value was such an important part of that, having the clarity around the value. And when you further niche down, you were able to really focus on that value. And I think that's just such a beautiful acknowledgement of what the niching did and how it enabled you to stay focused on the value, and how that just really, just skyrocketed your company from that point.
Yeah, it really did, because you kind of get rid of some of that mental clutter and you just know that you can serve in this one area at the highest level instead of really trying to be spread across sort of all of these different areas. And
The funny thing is, and I'll just share my story and you can tell me if this was the same for you, but when I first started my business, I thought, I've been a VP of marketing of a very large organization, had a team of 90 people around the world, reporting into me in one way or another. And I thought, I know all about marketing, right? When I started my own business. And, I know a lot about business, and, so I really, when I first started, I was like, I'm just diving in and I'm just doing this. And I really quickly learned that there was a lot of people that had gone down that pathway before me that really could help me, make that pace much faster if I really started to lean into people and learn from others that had been down that pathway.
I completely agree with that. I think that learning, first of all, I feel it needs to be constant. It needs to be something that's always a part of what we do as entrepreneurs. And I don't think that, I know that my business would not be where it is today if it wasn't for connecting with other people who have done this, who are doing this.
Yeah.
And just really be open to learning, because otherwise, you're only coming to the table with the skills that you have. And there's just, and the skills may be solid, but it's like, you don't know what you don't know. And so I'm still, there's always like, every time you solve a challenge, a new one presents itself.
Totally. Totally.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah. And it's for me, it's so much fun. Over the years, I've worked with multiple coaches and I've had multiple mastermind groups, and it feels really good when you're in community that is, you're all really stretching and growing together. And that's so much fun. So I love it. I love it. So what are you most proud of right now?
Well, right now, so it's on my mind. I have been creating this new group program and it's called Brand for Demand. And this has been this and talking about stretching ourselves, like this has been something that, because the content creation studio side of the business has just been so busy, like flat out for the past 6 months. It's usually pretty busy, but it's been exceptionally busy. And then to take this on at the same time, I knew that it was going to be a stretch. And so I'm at the point now where it's gone from just being an idea and just being something that I've been talking about to being something that's not only out in the market, but people are registering, the content exists, and it's just such a, it happens so, it seems like it's happening so slowly while you're doing it. And I would say this is true of any project, but you look back and you think like, wow, I've accomplished all of this. And so I think that's really where I am at right now with that.
So I often tell my clients, it's like, go back and look. I mean, we just did this recently. Go back and look what you got done in first quarter, because they're always telling themselves they didn't get enough done. Right. there was more to do. There was more to do. But if you actually go back and look at what you have accomplished in this first quarter and these last 6 months and this last year, you're always amazed. Oh my gosh, I've really done a lot. So that's such a good exercise.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of women, like at least ones that I know, it can be quite difficult to just like pause and celebrate. I'm always, you know, in my mind, I know that the company has accomplished these things or I've accomplished these things, but it does always feel like, okay, well, on to the next thing, or, oh, well, I could have done it better. And I think that if we just kind of take the moment and almost like train ourselves to say, no, like what have we done that's worth celebrating? Because there actually is a lot, and it can be so easy to gloss over it.
Yeah. So true. So true. So I believe that entrepreneurs, one of the most important things that we can really do is, I mean, we are content, we bring content out into the world on a day-to-day basis. I mean, that's what we're doing as entrepreneurs. And I know one of your specialties is really around content strategy. What are some of the ways you lead your clients to develop their content strategy? What are some of your tools, some of your, you know, just give us some good wisdom around creating a content strategy.
Ooh, I love this question. So I always like to start with their customer, you know, and really getting the deepest understanding possible of that individual and thinking of it as a specific individual, you know, and actually getting out and talking to them. Because I actually just did a webinar on the 6 steps to a winning content strategy recently. So a lot of this is fresh in my mind, but I think oftentimes we feel like we have a really good handle on our market, and we'll think, and, you know, being from a marketing background, it's like, this probably totally rings true for you, but as marketers, and if you're an entrepreneur, you know, by default, you're a marketer, unless you've got somebody.
Totally. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, which it's pretty much the case for all of us. But, you know, we think that we're in it, you know, we think we get it. But first of all, the market's needs change. So even if you have been really, really good at doing your customer research and getting on the phone with your customers and talking to them, it's probably time for an update, right? It's probably time to do it again. And so that's, you know, the place that we always start with our content strategies, is to have that really dialed in. Actually, before I go further, I am going to say one thing. Before we even get to the point of content strategies, having a really clear brand messaging suite would be, you know, the foundational part. Mm-hmm. But of course, if you do have that, you know, then yeah, you move on to the strategy, you do the research. I think one of the other biggest things is really defining the objectives for the content. Because again, as entrepreneurs, like unless we have a lot of support, which, you know, some people have built a great team and that's fantastic, but there are a lot of times where we're trying to do everything ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really have enough hours in the day to be creating content that doesn't tie back to a business goal. And yet this happens a lot. And so just taking the time.
So give us an example of that.
Yeah. So I think, well, you know, we will think, oh, I better share this on Instagram, or like something pops into your head and you want to share it. And I'm not saying not to do that or that there's anything inherently wrong with that. But if you can sit down and just identify 5 business goals that your content should really be driving towards, whether it's something simple like getting people signed up for your email list, or whether it's, you know, something I had to do in the beginning was just with awareness around content marketing as a whole, and like really sharing the difference between the fact that my company doesn't specialize in social media, for example, and what content marketing is and all of those things. So maybe you just have a goal that's around building awareness in the market and thinking about, how is every piece of marketing content I create going to tie back to a specific goal? Because that way, you know, well, first of all, that there was a purpose to doing this. And also you have a way of tracking and measuring, you know, how effective that was. And it also keeps you focused on your goals, right? So,
because we can get pulled in a whole lot of different ways. I mean, there's, you know, go do this or go do that. And if this is the thing where you place, you have to be. And it's always going back to, what am I trying to accomplish here? And where are my people at? And what do they need to know? And how do I speak their love language really?
Exactly. And that way it ensures that you're really helping them with what you know, what they need to know. And I think the goals are often, it's like what's good for our business and what's good for our customers. There should be a lot of alignment between that. And so when we're creating content based on things that are going to serve both our own business goals as well as our customers, like that's the sweet spot. And that's, you know, that's where you want to be. And then beyond that, I think one other thing I'd share is really just trying, although it's hard, trying to sort of not feel that pressure to be present everywhere all the time.
So true. I mean, it's, you just can't do them all. Well, no, right.
You just can't. And even like I had to realize for myself that that was something that I told my clients all the time, but it was something that I didn't actually give myself the grace of just being like, you, as a content marketer, I really felt like I needed to be doing everything. But realistically, it's just not possible to do that at the level that was, you know, what I would want it to be.
Right.
So I had to kind of abandon some of the channels and some of the content. And honestly, it's like, I've already seen such great results from just honing in on certain specific things and the things that make sense for me to be focusing on in terms of who my audience is, you know. So for my company, LinkedIn is a big one. It's obviously going to be different for everyone, but just really being okay with the fact that you can't be everywhere. And especially if, you know, as an entrepreneur, if your company is smaller, you just simply can't be everywhere, and it's better to do a couple things and do them really well.
Right. Absolutely. So I know that you attribute a lot of your growth to brand messaging, to content, you know, your own content strategy. You know, open the hood for us a little bit and share a little bit of how you really looked at that for your own business.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think evolving it as it goes, first of all, like I am not the kind of person who waited until everything was perfect to start my business.
Thank goodness. Because if we did that, we would never get anything out, right?
No, we'd never get anything out. And so I think it's about striking a balance between like refining, because your messaging can and should change, you know, and mine certainly has. And like I said, one of the biggest drivers of my success was when I niched it down from being integrated marketing communications and having the audience be everyone, basically, right. To really honing in. And like I said, you know, doing the interviews with my customers, I did that. I walked the talk sort of in the things that I recommend that other people do, and understanding like what the key struggles that they were having, and then speaking to those things, even though those things may not have been the points that I would have wanted to put forward in my marketing, like realizing that it's not about us. You know, of course we have a certain positioning that we want to position our company and present it as, but we need to go back to what we're hearing from our customers.
Right. And it's such a beautiful dance, right? Because it has to speak. And I always take my clients that the brand starts from the inside out, because we have these gifts of who we are and stories and experiences that have led us to this point. And at the same time, we need to really be able to speak the language. And I call it the client, let's speak our client's love language. So what is it that they're desiring? What are the words that they use on a day-to-day basis? What are the conversations they're having right now? And this is kind of going right back to your, go survey your clients, go have conversations with them so you can hear it. I mean, it's that listening piece that, and you put it, by putting those two pieces together, you start to create a brand, one that no one else can own because it comes from you, but also that is just speaking truly to what your clients are desiring.
Absolutely. And I love that you call it their love language. And I think it's like you've almost at that point then co-created, because it needs to obviously resonate with you, like you said, but you've co-created it because you're deriving insights from them, and then it's resonating with them as well. And so I think that, you know, that has certainly been something. And then in terms of having success with my own content strategy, I would say, which I say this all the time, but just consistency. Like I have been extremely dedicated to consistently producing content on the specific topics that we want to be known for, which is the messaging, the strategy, and the writing. And also just showing up personally as well. You know, even though I have pulled back on some of the video content that I've been creating, but people say this all the time, but people don't buy from companies, they buy from people. Totally. And I know that it can be tough because I know that some entrepreneurs are more introverted. And so it can be easy for me to sit here and say, oh, well, you've got to show up. You've got to show up.
But I do.
I do think it's true.
I do think it's true as well.
It's unavoidable, but I think it's like the more that we can just show ourselves, and even though that can seem very uncomfortable in the beginning, and it can also almost seem like you're pushing it on people, but I promise you that it's like, they just want to get to know who you are and what you're about. And mm-hmm. so the more you can just try to do that, like, I think mm-hmm. all of the things, you know, you should be measuring the engagement, but when I look at the engagement on the content that I put out there, it's often the highest on the things that are just like about me. And I mean, they are tied yeah. to what we do, but they are more personal.
Yeah. And it's, and I think you're spot on. As like you said, people buy from people. They will resonate with you. They'll say, oh my gosh, you know, Afton said this, and they will feel it, right? I mean, they feel that connection, and that's where people really can say, ooh, they're drawn into your work and they want more of it. And then you start showing up. And I love the consistency comment, because I think that if you show up once and then you go away, they forget how they felt in that moment. But if you keep showing up, they keep being drawn into it. And that's the power of that. I know one of my challenges always, and podcasting is good because it keeps me consistent every single week, right? I mean, that is definitely my, the space where I do a lot of my content is off of a podcast as guesting or being on my own show. And then, you know, there's the consistency. How do you manage for yourself to stay consistent?
It's not always easy, because especially when we're in a business that's, you know, client focused, which I guess everyone's is. But so one of my coaches has said it to me this way, but it's like making your own company one of your most important clients, because mm-hmm. otherwise it's like the thing that's going to get put to the bottom of the list is right. going to be the marketing for my own company, Scribe National. Every single time, like, I'm never going to put it above doing something for a customer. And so it is always a balance, and it's always reminding myself, like, in a way, putting out the content for Scribe National, well, it is doing something for the customer, you know, and it is doing something for the audience, and it is important. And so even as we are talking now, I have to put out a new blog post, because I put out a blog every 2 weeks. And it's like, you just, I don't know. I think for me, it's about building that trust. And so content marketing is all about building trust. And I think the consistency piece adds to building the trust, because what I always say is that it's like, when you get to know somebody well, you learn what they stand for and what you can expect from them. Mm-hmm. And the relationship between your brand and your customers plays out the same way. And so you don't want to just, like you said, it's also for the reason of that you want to stay top of mind, but also for the trust. And it's like, if we're going to show up as someone who provides interesting and helpful content, we want to do that reliably. That's a really big deal to me. So I'm going to have to get myself in gear and put up my next post. So
do you have any good tips? I mean, as you teach your clients to do the content, you know, you have a content strategy that you can pull from, and theoretically, you know, you've always got places you can go on that content strategy. Do you have any special tricks that you use yourself that, you know, gives you, so you're not sitting there looking at a white, you know, a blank sheet of paper, right? What do you do?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So I think there's so many things I will say on this, but I think the first thing before any of it is just creating a schedule that's going to be reasonable for you, because with anything, you know, with marketing, we want to set ourselves up for success, and we don't want to feel like we're never able to do the thing that we said we were going to do. So if, you know, for anyone who's listening, like, depending on the size of your team and on the other duties and priorities within your company, you know, don't necessarily commit to like, a blog post, a newsletter, a podcast, everything, every single week, unless you know you can make that happen. So I would first suggest for people to start smaller so that they can feel those wins and so that they can then build up from there. So once you've got a reasonable schedule, I always have the actual content calendar itself as part of the strategy. So when we work with clients, that gets provided. And whether you want to build that 3 months out or 6 months out, it's totally up to you. I wouldn't, don't feel that you need to build it a year out, because oftentimes things change. And so you don't want to have to kind of redo that work. But building that calendar out, and that's going to be everything from what types of content are you publishing, for which audience, on which channel, at which stage of the buyer's journey. And so by that, I mean, like, people call this different things, but awareness, education, conversion. You know, we need content for people who are at every one of those stages.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they could feel left out, that they're not seeing themselves reflected in our content, and that way they're not able to take the next step with us. So we want to be hitting all of that. So we want a calendar that really covers everything so that, like you said, we don't have to be coming to a blank screen. Like, that's the last thing I want any of my clients or anybody out there to do. So just getting that all organized up front, and it can seem like a heavy lift, but sitting down and doing that will save you so much time in the end.
Yeah.
And if it's something that, you know, is just like pulling teeth and you really don't want to sit down and do it, that's when I would say, like, hiring somebody can be quite helpful for that. And then there's two other things on that I want to mention. So once you've got all of that, the other big thing that I would certainly advise is to repurpose as much of the content as you can. You know, so don't just be creating things from scratch.
So true. and you know, I have had, I have a slide that I share that a friend of mine used to share, and it was 80% of our content should get, should be repurposed and 20% new. And most of us are the flip of that, right? We're creating 80% new and repurposing 20% of the time. This is Brian Kramer, who's the founder of H2H marketing, so human to human marketing. This was some of his work that he shared. And I love that slide, because it just makes you stop and think, how can we shift this up? And that means, you know, really looking at what content actually exists and how can we keep putting that out there in a way. I've not gotten to the 80% repurposed, 20% new, but I'm always stretching in that way, right?
I haven't gotten there either. So I think it's honestly just the way we're conditioned. Like, I think there's just something about how we always feel like we need to be creating something new. And what I always try to remind people is, and I've actually even seen this change, I thought it was that people need to see a marketing message 5 to 7 times. I've actually seen something lately where it's gone up to like 20 something times. But
wow.
Regardless, people, we can sometimes feel like we're a broken record or we're talking about the same things over and over. But with the way that algorithms are and with the way they're always changing, like, I can pretty much guarantee you that people have not seen that message every time you've shared it, or that there have been many people who've missed it. And again, just reinforcing the key value propositions of your company as many times as you can. And so that's actually another benefit of repurposing, other than just saving time, that you are building that recognition in the market with the things that you want to talk about the most.
Yeah.
So the repurposing is huge. And then the last thing I'll mention on it is also the distribution. And that's another thing that I think sometimes it's like we publish one thing in one place, one time, and then we go create something else. And then we publish it once in one place. And that cycle, it's not only the repurposing of the best performing content, but it's also the distribution of the content in multiple places. Because again, our audience is on multiple channels consuming content in different ways, and can pretty much guarantee you the same person isn't going to say, oh, well, I saw that as a video, and then I saw them posted as a social media post, and I'm going to unfollow. Like, that's just not happening.
Right.
So I think just don't be afraid to repurpose and distribute.
I love that. I totally love that. So I know that storytelling is an important thing for you. It's something I think is just essential in marketing. Is there anything, any quick little tip on storytelling that you think we need to know?
Ooh, that's such a good one. And there are lots, but I think that one thing that's important is even when we're telling our own stories, like even when we're telling our brand story, you know, origin story, all of that, try to make sure that your audience is reflected in the story as well. So it comes back to that, like that co-creation of the brand sort of thing, like make sure that they can see themselves. And then that way they can relate more to you.
That's a great one. That's totally a great one. So I know you've got some good things coming up here really soon. And tell us a little bit more where people can learn more about you and your business and just what you've got coming up.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I am at scribenational.ca. And then we're also on LinkedIn. So either Afton Brazzoni or Scribe National, we've got a company page on there as well. And those are probably the two main ways I would say would be the website and LinkedIn. And then in terms of what we've got coming up, I have launched this new program called Brand for Demand. And the registration deadline is April 22nd. The program starts May 2nd. It runs for 8 weeks. And basically what this is really something I created out of a need that I was hearing a lot from my audience. And so we still have this service where we'll come in and we'll do your brand messaging and content strategy for you. But I was hearing from a lot of people, you know, that either that wasn't really in their budget or they really wanted to learn those skills themselves. Mm-hmm. So in Brand for Demand, we're going to be spending the 8 weeks and actually creating the messaging and the content strategy together, you know, and really, setting people up with that marketing foundation that they need to grow their revenue by driving demand.
Excellent. Excellent. So go check that out because I actually think that every entrepreneur needs to understand how to create content, whether they've got somebody doing their content or not, because I think that it's, if we don't understand it, there's a lot of content that's just being thrown out there that it's just noise. And, you know, it's we've got to get up out of the noise and into something that really matters with our message. We need to, I mean, taking it up out of what we stand for, what our opinions are, what our clients care about. And it really changes. If we understand those principles and you go through these steps, it you can guide your teams in much bigger ways.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I completely agree.
You know, when I hired a social media manager last summer and it just didn't work out because we weren't really in sync with messaging. And I rehired a new social media manager right now. And before she ever started, we spent a good hour going through, here is my content strategy. This is what you can pull from. These are the things I like to talk about. This is the voice I like to use. This is, you know, and so she's spot on to how she's really taking and creating content for me because we had that foundation. And I think that's always been such a beautiful thing to have. If you have that foundation, your team can really be consistent with you.
Yeah, it's so, so key. I think, you know, it really helps people shape the narrative about their own business. And like you said, if you don't understand it, it becomes much more difficult to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So the final question we always close with are, what three pearls of wisdom would you like to leave with us today?
Oh, that's such a lovely question. All right. So the first one I would say, because this has been on my mind a lot lately, is I think in entrepreneurship, you know, it is a long game. And as much as we talked about at the beginning that, yes, you know, my company did grow quite a bit in the first 2 years, but it's still, I'm just reminded all the time about how things take so much time, and especially when you're creating a new offering. Yeah. And so just really having that patience and that trust. And as much as that's like wisdom I would offer, make no mistake, it's something I'm still working on constantly. Like it's something I struggle with. And so I think it's really important to be anchored in that. The other thing I would say, the second thing would be community. I think it's huge. It's pretty much everything. I don't think, you know, a lot of us wouldn't be anywhere in our businesses without that. And then the other thing is actually just taking it outside of the business. And what are the things that kind of allow either your brain to rest or your body to rest or just to fill you up in a different way? And so for me, it's getting outside and, you know, just really being able to do something else that reminds me that as much as we do feel intertwined with our businesses when we're entrepreneurs, that there is also more outside of that. And I think we have to remember that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we have to take care of ourselves. And it's like the, I'm like you, I love nature. And, you know, it's finally here in Colorado starting to turn spring. I mean, we've had snow this week too. So, but we're getting these moments of, oh my gosh. And it just makes me feel so happy to feel that nature and outdoors. And I have to be outdoors we have horses. So I have to be outdoors every day of the year. And this time of the year just reminds me even more so how much my entrepreneur spirit is fed by nature, by being outside, by seeing the growth happening, you know, the new green grass coming up. All of that just really it feeds me and it feeds my business. And so I really play with that energy this time of year. So
absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Well, Afton, this has been so much fun and I'm so glad to know you. And I love the work you're doing. And so thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Cami. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah. I hope you liked this episode of Extraordinary Women Radio. If you did, please share this podcast with your own special tribe of women and help spread the love, the dreams, and the inspiration. Are you ready to raise up your voice, your visibility, and your business? I invite you to join the conversation in my Facebook group, Extraordinary Women Connect. This group brings together changemaker women entrepreneurs who want to elevate their business or impact. It is a place for powerful connections and collaborations. It is a place to be inspired, uplifted, and fired up for action. To learn more about my work that helps women entrepreneurs make heartfelt connections to mindful growth strategies, visit my website at camigelner.com. Till next time, my friend, listen to your heart, follow your dreams, and be you.